Well, y'all are making my job real easy. Next, I'd like to introduce Carolyn Mason, who's going to talk about one online international collaboration of community health assignments for two RNVSN programs. Thank you.
Well, I'm delighted to be here, and thank you for the opportunity to share this. And let's see, I don't have any relationships to disclose either, and no money to go with it. So, I really wish my colleague Francis Saar could be here because he is the one. Can you all hear me? Okay, he is the one that really pushed me to do this, and. Francis Saar is the head of the Department of Nursing and Reproductive Health of the School of Medicine and Allied Health Sciences at the University of the Gambia. Miami University, where I'm from in Ohio, so we are also wherever you went, we're in Ohio, near Cincinnati area, we're a little bit north. We are a bachelor's program, mostly RN completion program, and we have an associate degree. We're just now moving into a traditional baccalaureate program. Over the last probably 10 years, we have developed collegial relationships with the Gambia in a number of ways. We've had a multidisciplinary collaborative between a political science faculty and nursing and one other university in the area, Xavier University. So during the last probably 10 years, we have developed a course where students from both Xavier and Miami spend 3 weeks in the Gambia doing a variety of health care. They work in the clinics. They are introduced to World Health Organization, Peace Corps, the local health system, and spend time in, you know, learning the culture, learning to understand the people. It's a wonderful experience, but we haven't been able to consistently do it every year. We're trying. The years we haven't done it, we have brought nursing leaders from the Gambia to the United States. In 2003, we brought two faculty from, one from the School of Nursing and another one from the Department of Health Nursing Division. This past November in 2007, we brought Francis Saar. And he spent 2 weeks with us and actually stayed with my husband and I. And so we've become wonderful friends. And partly because of our time together, he really pushed me to do this project. I was the one with fear and trepidation. He says, no. He says, this will work. So I just want to really dedicate this to him. What we did was we brought two countries together in one collaborative online assignment. One is a developing country, the Gambia, and then, of course, the United States through Miami. For those of you that are familiar, this will be something you already know, but those of you that are not that familiar with where the Gambia is, it is on the west side of Africa. And here's another little picture of it. It is surrounded by Senegal on three sides, and the Gambia River is the river that really forms the framework of where the country is. The Gambia was a British colony, and their official language is English, so that has helped. Here's a variety of pictures, both rural and in the city. And a little bit about the Gambian people. It's about the size of Maryland. They have 1.4 million people. 60% live in the rural areas. And there are five major ethnic groups. They have a lot of different languages. But like I said before, English is their official language. So students all study and have to be proficient in English, which has made our collaboration with them very helpful and much easier. 90% are Muslim, 5% Christians, and approximately 5% animist. They have a three-tiered government system, in my personal opinion, a much better organized system than our own, with primary health posts of 492 around the country. They have secondary facilities, 38 health facilities that are much more staffed for probably your minor to slightly serious health concerns, and then four hospitals throughout the country. The largest hospital was in Banjul, which is at the port city, and it is their teaching hospital. I didn't make a note of that. And then they also have some private non-governmental organizations and health clinics. This is a picture of the students at the School of Nursing. Now, right now, nursing education occurs in two locations. They have a state It's a nursing education that's run through the state system, and they have educated most of their registered nurses and their state-enrolled nurses and their midwives in that system. The University of the Gambia is a very new university. It began in 1999, so it's quite new. The medical school had a link with Cuba, and they graduated their first class in 2006. Dr. Saar had previously been working in the state nursing program, but when they started the Bachelor's of Nursing program, he moved under the university system. And at some point, they're hoping to do more work with bringing nurses. It's similar to our RN-BSN program. So he and I both, and I teach in the RN-BSN program, so he and I had similar students, and he has been the head of this program. Here's their nursing lab and their school library. Now, when Francis was here, he identified a number of Gambian nursing educational needs. They are suffering from many of the things that developing countries are suffering. They are educating nurses, and then the nurses are leaving. And they are suffering, you know, we think we have a shortage. Their shortage is just phenomenal. But they also are having to provide more opportunities to educate nurses at the baccalaureate level. And how do they do that when most of the people live in rural settings? That is one of the big issues that they're trying to overcome. And they're trying to also identify ways to increase numbers of nurses who can obtain master's degrees and then be teaching. Part of his work when he came with us, and part of our work when we've gone there, have been trying to identify collaborative ways we can work together in terms of collaborative design. And I should have bolded the second one, distance online to educational offerings. That became a really a buzzword for him. And we have, like I mentioned, we've had student clinical cultural experiences. We've done a little bit on faculty change exchanges. We'd like to do more. Our faculty have gone there, and when their faculty have come, they've done some teaching for us, but it's at the very infant stage. But bottom line, we want to design a long-term sustainable program and relationship, and one that's flexible. Then Miami has also recently identified global issues that are on your screen, that Miami Plan, which is their foundations or their liberal education plans, include goals that are to promote the development of informed, engaged, and responsible world citizens. And the students need to come out of that with their ability to explore and understand their world and how to influence the changing world, determine and assess relationships among societies, describe the differences and similarities among contemporary groups and regions, identify and analyze the origins and influences of global forces, and then develop and exercise the ability to communicate and act respectfully across linguistic and cultural differences. I'm sure you all at your universities have some similar kinds of things that you're working on, but as we took these from our Miami plan, how do you actualize them? How do you put them into assignments for students? So, as Francis and I were talking during his visit, we talked a lot about these issues, and we determined that our overall goal was to link Gambian and Miami RNBSN community health students in one assignment in order to compare and contrast community health issues in two different countries. Incidentally, we both were teaching back in the spring semester the community health course. He was teaching it, I was teaching it, and we wanted to see what we could do to demonstrate the feasibility of online connections between the two of our universities. The assignment was something that had been generated through a former assignment that I had done with students, and we modified it, but we created work groups. Each university put students into three groups. We put them into really six groups initially because we had more students at Miami. We had 20 students in my class and 10 in his class. But what we did was created group A, B, and C in each country. And the first task the students had was that they had to identify in their own country three priority public health issues, and they had to write a paper as a group. So my group, A1 and A2, had to do these separately, and then they had to present to the A group. His three students in his group did his A group. Okay, that was the first step. We did this individually. We each had the same assignment. Francis and I called each other, almost every week, did lots of emailing, shared a lot of this online. And then the next part of this was that they were to compare and contrast the priority health issues as they affected each country, propose possible nursing actions and shared reports, and then collaborated through online questions. So the first thing that happened was, after each group A, B, and C informed each other of what the issue, their issues were from their country, then group A shared with group A in the other country what those issues were. They shared their reports. They emailed them to them. Each group had a chance to read their issues, read all the questions that they had answered, and then they began to look at what were the similar problems. And it was quite interesting to note how many students found similarities, even though they were very different in terms of their culture, the fact that it was a developing country, and then of course some issues were very different because of the difference in the developed and the undeveloped and the developing country. We ended up with then each group would ask questions of the other group through an email correspondent, and they could clarify, get information back and forth that way. And then the final presentation, each group came back together at their university, and they shared what they had learned with all their groups at that point. So then, even though one group was only looking at their issues across, they got the information and the insight from what they had learned from the other groups. Is that making sense? I was trying to figure out how to put this in a picture. I hope that was making sense. A few keys to assignment success. We collaborated first in person, like I said, including I'm madly writing on the way to the airport, changing what we needed to do. We called about every week. We did a lot of emailing. We had regular contact. We had to be willing to try a variety of technology, and what I initially thought was going to work didn't work at all. I had gotten students special enrollment into my Blackboard website, and he thought that was going to work great. It would have been wonderful, but then they found they didn't have good access to the computer time, that it wasn't a feasible thing, so we simply had to stop that midway, and we developed a different strategy of doing it simply with online. We created online leaders for each group, and then they were able to talk to one another. They also then copied us, made us a part of those, if they emailed one of their collaborators in the other country, then they copied both Francis and I. So we were able to sort of keep on top of what was going on between the students. Like I said, when one approach didn't work, we modified it, and we didn't give up. We were very positive coaches. You have to imagine that students on both sides of the world didn't necessarily think this was a good idea. We thought it was a great idea, but they didn't necessarily think it was a good idea. So we really did a lot of coaching of why this was a good idea, why this was going to be helpful to their learning. We were very positive in our support. We were also flexible with the students and helped them to see that this is a new experience for us as well, and that we will take that into consideration. You know, students tend to get paranoid about grades, and we said, just take a deep breath. It's, we know, and we're going to be fair, and you have to trust us with this. We were very consistent in assignments, even though they had different technological issues than we did. The assignment itself was identical. We also did an evaluation that was the same, and we have written up the first part of our experience, and we're submitting it as I speak. We hope to do analysis of our evaluation data, and then, like I said, you just have to be flexible in the implementation. On your syllabi, or on the abstract, I had written down three objectives. The first one was to describe conditions necessary to establish a collaborative online community health assignment. And I think those of you that are interested in doing this, finding someone that you can connect with, you have mutual respect, and you have to have an agreement on the assignment. You have to be flexible when the methodology needs to change. And you have to be willing to take a risk. And I have to say, Francis was the greater risk taker than I was. He spurred me on, and he encouraged me. And you have to be positive coaches because the students are reluctant. And you just have to say, this is a good thing, and I'm going to help you get through this and not to worry. The second objective was to identify the types of preparation students need in order to participate in the online assignment. And you have to give very clear directions. We had some problems with this because when the assignment methodology changed, the directions changed. So that was kind of anxiety-producing to students, but there again, you had to say, it's going to be okay, and I put the new directions out there, and if you've got questions, you come see me, and I'm going to help you with this. And again, just telling them and helping them understand the reason for the value of the assignment. And then making sure all students have adequate access to computer technology. What we discovered for the Gambian students, although they didn't have access to their computer lab, lots of them had fairly easy access to email. So that once that was kind of established, that was one bump in the road that we sort of overcame. And then faculty support along the way for students. But you have to hear what the students are saying. I think another issue with students in that, particularly for the Gambian students, some of them were quite intimidated about some of the technology, and pairing students up was a way that helped them. And then our students, it was a good learning for them when they realized that, they couldn't believe that their peers in the Gambia didn't have the same easy access. They have it at their home, they can do it, in their pajamas, so that was very helpful to them. And then the third objective is to identify the benefits of engaging students from more and less developed countries in the collaborative education. I really believe both students groups gained respect for nursing around the world. They recognized some of the different health issues that each country faced, And they recognized what some of the same issues were, which was sort of a surprise to everyone. They assumed, well, oh, we're so different. And then identifying the cultural differences and similarities in the working conditions. One of the things we had students do, since they were both RN programs coming back, to talk, they had an opportunity to sort of share who they were so that students from our class and their class knew a little bit about you. You know, how long have you been a nurse? Why are you coming back to school? What do you hope to get from this experience? What do you like about nursing, et cetera, et cetera. So that's, and then the last one is anticipating ways to overcome the potential barriers in their own educational setting to implement the strategy. You need to really do groundwork on trying a variety of technology. I wish we had maybe had a chance to do a pilot before we were thrust into this, but we didn't, and so we used that for our pilot. And it doesn't have to be sophisticated technology. You know, we don't have to go at this with great fancy things that we sometimes think we need. Flexibility for timing, that was another issue, because we discovered timing and how people interpret timing is not always the same. And especially the my students would get paranoid when they hadn't heard from the students in the Gambia, and, you know, so you had to reassure them. But all in all, it turned out really great. And I guess just having the courage to try something, it was well worth the adventure of it. Yeah.